Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring, and on this Christmas day, we have a special gift for you. My fine wife, Bev, is going to share with you a message that she did at Mount Zion Free Will Baptist Church a few weeks ago. And it was really, really blessed to folks, and especially me, listening to you teach.
Well, thank you, darling. You know, since I don't often carry the Christmas message, I thought that I would start out by sharing a woman's perspective of how Christmas might have been back in the day if women were in charge. And it's called The Three Wise Women. You know, if there had been three wise women instead of wise men, they probably would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, brought practical gifts, cleaned up that stable, made a casserole, and there would probably be peace on earth. Just saying.
I love it.
Years ago, Harold and I went to work for a small Christian college in Eastern North Carolina, sponsored by the Free Will Baptist Church. We'd not been married very long, and one of the preachers down on the coast retired, and Harold was asked to fill in the pulpit until they found another one. We are just a couple of kids who love God and wanted to serve him. But I was reminded of the story of the Lord that the Lord used, really, to show me the metamorphosis of all of us as Christians, one way or another. We had had the privilege just a few years ago now of attending a pastor's conference at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And the guest speaker was Reinhard Bonnke. Bonnke recently went to be with the Lord, actually 2 weeks after I preached this sermon at Mount Zion Church, at the age of 79. As a German-born pastor, he was best known for being an evangelist to Africa, where he is associated with over 75 million recorded conversions to Christ.
Wow.
He began the organization Christ for All Nations. You know, before he began speaking that day, he said he thought he'd give us a brief history of how he became a believer in Christ. And thus, he began to tell us a story of how his father, as a very young boy, living in a remote German village, and I got the idea, really, in this remote village, that the housing was quite poor. Because his grandfather had been severely stricken with a disease in which in any part of his body was in contact with anything he was laying on, that he would be in great pain. As it happened, there was an evangelist who was on his way to preach, but got quite lost and put out of the way and was stumbled on this remote village where Reinhard Bonnke's grandfather was living. When he finally found civilization, he asked immediately, was there anyone who perhaps needed a word from the Lord or that he could speak with? And boy, everybody pointed him over to Reinhard Bonnke's grandfather's house where they could hear him moaning day and night in his pain. Wow. So he went, he went in to talk to Reinhard Bonnke's family, and of course his father was there and the rest of the family. And he began leading the grandfather to the Lord. And after he led him to the Lord, he explained that Christ is the healer, and his grandfather became healed. And the whole family became born again. as probably Reinhard Bonnke would have put it, the rest is history. It was a very uplifting story of God's deliverance and mercy at just the right time. And I'm sure that Reinhard Bonnke went on to preach a wonderful sermon to us that day, but truthfully, I don't remember what that was about. What I do remember thinking was this evangelist who had wandered around lost in the forest was not lost in God's eyes. How often do we wonder, God, what am I doing? Does anything I do matter for you? Anything at all? I'm staying home taking care of all these kids who need constant attention. and all I do is fix, or maybe someone says all I do is fix cars for a living. What? How does that help? Or maybe show up at work as a bank teller. Or the point of it is no matter what it is that we're doing, sometimes we can wonder, are we noticeable at all? And I have often wondered if this evangelist ever knew before he died what the chain reaction was that he started. And I wonder what he was thinking about when he was wandering around lost in that forest. Maybe he was talking to himself like we all do. You know, Lord, where in the world am I? I've gone and lost myself now. I was sure I was on the right path. I'm going to be late to this speaking engagement. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. It's all my fault for not paying attention. Did I hear those directions right? But if we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And then, of course, we all know that God began to send Abraham a Google map and on his smartphone, and everything worked out just as it was planned. Yeah, well, unfortunately, as we all know, that isn't the way that it happens. It didn't happen that way then, and that's not how God works now. You know how we've always heard that the Bible has answers to every problem in life. But then you think, how come I just can't seem to find the answer to the one that I'm looking for right now? I do believe that the Bible shares the stories like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, all of those to give us a clear picture of what life was like. You know what it was? Messy, full of drama, full of people searching for purpose, with a few crazy people thrown into the mix. I know that we'd prefer that it isn't that way, but it is a clear picture, and he does tell us in the Bible, success in life is not a straight line, and it's not a straight road, and it's not always a fun-filled path. But each one of the Bible characters finally made it to the end when they allowed God to step in and help, and they remained faithful. That brings us to the season that we're celebrating right now, Christmas, and the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin Mary, as a young girl, she receives this exciting and rather amazing visitation from an angel straight from heaven. He gives her this larger-than-life story of what will be coming if she accepts the assignment. And she does. But see, the next thing that she knows, she's 9 months pregnant, and the Emperor of Rome is ordering her to take this long journey. And we all think at times, don't we? We don't really know, you know, we don't even know with her if she even rode a donkey. She might have had to walk all the way to Bethlehem because the Bible is not clear on it. And we also don't know if she wondered if this was part of the plan or something that had just kind of gotten off track and she wasn't being told about it. Have you ever felt that way? You know, we can take a guess at what the dialogue that she might have had going on in her mind, you know, as she's wandering down this path on the way to Bethlehem. You know, she might have said, you know, Lord, is this the way it's supposed to be? I thought that since you were involved in all of this, it would have gone a lot smoother. And perhaps the people could have been kinder because I was really doing this all for you. And, you know, maybe our scenario is similar, but in a different way. I think, Lord, that you want me working here at this job, but why couldn't my supervisor or a boss or whatever it is over you be just nicer to me? I save his or her reputation all the time, and I'm not even appreciated for it. Or maybe it's more like, I love this guy or I love this gal that I married, but gosh, Lord, they don't appreciate a thing I do for this family. And by the way, I forgot to tell you that when Reinhard Bonnke first set out on his evangelistic missions to Africa, he bought the largest evangelistic tent ever constructed at the time. It could hold 34,000 people back in the day. But just before his first crusade, a strong African wind came blowing through and destroyed it completely. With no tent and nothing else to do, we didn't know what to do. They decided to open out under the sky of Africa, and 100,000 people showed up. You know, I'm pretty sure that Mary was tired when she got to Bethlehem, but she thought, thank God, now I'm going to find a comfortable inn and be able to put my feet up and watch a little cable TV. Yet we all know that that wasn't the case to be. And there's really no telling how many places she and Joseph had to stop along the way before they found a kind innkeeper who offered them a little place in a stable. How could this be the plan of God? How could this possibly be what God had planned for the son of his son to be born? Well, let's see. Thanks to the incredible people that we preached for years and years, and boy, honey, years ago, they thanked us for our year and 9 months of service by giving us our very first trip to the Holy Land. We got to see the Temple Mount and touch the rock where for centuries the Jewish people offered their sacrificial lambs on the altar for their sins. We got to travel down to Bethlehem, which is about 5 miles from the hill on which Jerusalem sits, to see where they feel that Jesus was born in a stable. During the time Jesus was born and raised, there was a Jewish rule, a law that shepherds were not allowed to raise their sheep in the wilderness. There was only one exception. The lambs that would be sacrificed on the altar of the temple had to be in close proximity to the Temple Mount so they could be readily available. But back to why the God of our universe wanted, say nothing of allowed, his son to be born in a stable. Would it surprise you to know that the shepherds who live in Bethlehem are the ones who raise the sheep who are slain just 5 miles away on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? Maybe God saw that it was a perfect fit for his perfect plan for his son who would take away the sins of the world, that he should also be born in a lowly stable where the other sacrificial sheep were pastured nearby. And instead of angels appearing to the great kings of the earth and God announcing it, that his son was about to be born, God thought it more appropriate to proclaim this great birth to the shepherds who stood watch over the sheep born to bear the sins of the people, so that they could be the first ones to see the true sacrificial lamb that would one day be slain for all mankind. So we hope that this picture gives you a new perspective of your Christmas day this year. You may wonder how you fit in God's plan, but the point of it is you do. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. No one is born by accident. And if you think you don't count, you need to think again. God is faithful who promised, and we must be too. Our calling is to faithfulness, faithful to the word of God, faithfulness to his church, to do everything as if he were watching us and has his hand on us, because he does. God has his own plans and purposes, and sometimes we can't see how we fit in. And many times we won't until well after the fact, or maybe on the other side. But Harold and I pray this day that this Christmas day is a blessed time you have today with family and friends, but also a day of feeling the reassurance that God is Emmanuel, truly with us. So I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas from Harold and myself and the Debt-Free Army staff. We love you, and we praise the Lord for every one of you and how you fit into his plan.
Hallelujah. Amen. Have a great day. We're going to. In fact, after this call, I'm going to make sausage rolls with my baby girl.
There you go.
Merry Christmas to you. Let me just stir it to me too. You may not have family around today, but you're not alone.
Never alone.
Let it be, if there's nobody else around, let it be a day that you celebrate in praise with the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you and keep thinking rich thoughts.